So to a bit more news, Norman, something that you've been working on throughout this week. You did a story earlier in the week after 7:30 on what are called toddler milks. And I really want to talk about it because it kind of plays into a much bigger issue around the things that are marketed to toddlers in general.
Yeah, major problems with toddler foods in general, which we'll come to in a moment with one of the people who have been really advocating in this area.
But yes, let us start with toddler milks. A definition, please, because it's quite different to like infant formula.
Yes. Well, although if you're in one of the corporate chemists or you're in a supermarket and you look along in the row, I challenge you to separate the toddler formula from the infant formula. Essentially, what we're talking about, well, in context, what we're talking about is the first 1,000 days of life. And nutrition and development...
Help me with my maths, Norman. Are we talking...
Well, it's the first 3 years of life. So toddlerhood is from about 12 months to about 3 years of age. That's the definition. Nutrition is part of, obviously, growth of your brain, growth of your body, setting down healthy patterns in your metabolism, but it's also about development. I'll come back to that in a moment. So this is about the early years. And toddler milk is powdered milk. It's an ultra-processed food that's packaged in a tin that's pretty much identical to an infant formula tin. And it's marketed as either transition or follow-on formula from the age of 12 months if you're from breastfeeding or from infant formula to other powdered milk formulae. And it's heavily marketed and the market is growing fast. One in three Australian toddlers, according to research at Deakin University, are consuming toddler milk. And here's one example of marketing using parents.
We're both busy parents, we're both working parents, and that's why we choose Aptamil Gold Plus Toddler's Milk for little Rosie.
Aptamil Gold Plus Toddler is a trusted brand by parents like us, and it is the number one recommended brand by paediatricians.
Both of us have been really happy with the Aptamil Gold Plus Toddler's Milk. It has prebiotics, probiotics and omega-3, and it keeps Rosie nice and healthy and happy.
It's super easy to make and Rosie absolutely loves it.
A lot of the time she's been asking for more because she absolutely loves the taste.
Okay, so that definitely sounds, well, it actually sounds a little bit like a hostage video, but it definitely sounds like a health food. They're talking about prebiotics, they're saying it's recommended by paediatricians, all that sort of thing.
Well, number one recommended paediatricians. We did ask Aptamil where they got that information from, and they say they've got a panel of paediatricians that they get this information from. And it's no wonder they love the taste, because these milks, on average, are sweet. They're very sweet. If you compare them to cow's milk, which is a natural product, these are ultra-processed products, they've got twice the carbs and added sugars. Well, they're all added sugars compared to cow's milk. And if you compare the calories serve for serve in on average in toddler milks, there are more calories serve for serve than in a popular brand of orange lemonade. Here's Jennifer McCann at Deakin University, who's researched toddler milks.
If a toddler was to consume, say, one serve, which is 200 mils, which is a recommended serve of toddler milk per day, toddlers would be consuming an extra 60 teaspoons of sugar per month than if they just had regular cow's milk. So that's a lot of sugar extra that they don't need.
I mean, I'm not sure kids need any extra sugar at all.
Well, they don't need toddler milks at all. There's no respected authority on child health, including the World Health Organization, which recommends toddler milks. They say that they're unnecessary. I interviewed a leading paediatrician at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne, Anthea Rhodes, who's very worried about them.
I think the thing that makes me most angry about this is how parents are really being misled. Toddlers, so children aged between 1 and 3, need a wholesome family diet, regular food, water, and breast milk if they're still breastfeeding. And that's all. They certainly don't need toddler milk. And yet parents are being told that there's essential nutrients their child might miss out on. They're being told their development might not be as good if they don't have these products. Some of the advertising even suggests children will be more intelligent if they have toddler milks. And so parents, wanting to do the best by their kids, are thinking this is something we need to do.
It's a bit like we talked a few weeks ago on What's That Rash about multivitamins and that idea of kind of filling in the gaps of your diet just in case you're not getting it. And that idea as a parent is really tempting especially if your kid is throwing like every food you offer them straight on the ground.
Well, that's right. I mean, here's the pattern of development, which you know only too well, which is you introduce solids and it all goes hunky-dory until the baby gets to about a year old. And then they start becoming very fussy. They'll chuck the food on the floor, et cetera, et cetera. And the temptation is to have a food fight and force it and so on. Toddlers are fussy eaters. And it's one of the frustrations of being a parent. And the data are that on average, to get a child, a toddler, to eat a new food, let's say broccoli or something like that, you've got to put it on their high chair 20 times before they start eating it. You don't force it on them. You just leave it there and they'll throw it on the floor and they'll throw it on the floor 20 times. Eventually, they will eat it. But parents think, oh God, if I passed a four nights in a row, you know, they're going to become malnourished. Well, they don't. But what Anthea Rhodes believes is that toddler milks are contributing to obesity. They're retarding a child's development because they're actually not sitting necessarily, if we're going to get toddler milk rather than whole foods, they're not getting the tactile experience of food, they're not eating at the same time as the adults at the table. And she believes from her clinic experience that in the end, it can make fussy eating worse because the children are narrowing down. And then the other issue here is because the branding and presentation on the tins is identical to infant formula, Jennifer McCann at Deakin University believes it's a way these ultra-processed food manufacturers get round the voluntary ban on infant formula marketing.
On a toddler milk, you might have an image of an infant formula. But in its own right, infant formula is not allowed to be marketed in Australia under our agreements that we have, our voluntary agreements. The manufacturers can circumvent that, and it's almost like providing a segue for marketing of these infant formulas through the marketing on pack of toddler milks.
Also, it's not that they're only that you transition from infant formula into the toddler milks. It's that the toddler milks are being used to kind of retrospectively market infant formula.
Well, and talk about retrospectively, they're now marketing pregnancy formula. So that when you're pregnant, you take milk formula and its tin is also identical. So that you get to a brand, brand X, and you take it in pregnancy. And then when you go to the supermarket or the chemist, you see brand X as infant formula and brand X as toddler formula. They've got you for the next 4 years.
It sounds like an episode of the Gruen transfer.
Well, it is a worry. What's needed, say the experts, is mandatory regulation of marketing. But Dr. Jennifer McCann is a bit despondent because the food industry is usually at the table when regulation is being discussed.
There's a lot of food industry and manufacturing influence in the government. And I think that we need to really separate that corporate influence coming into, you know, government policymaking. And research shows that they shouldn't be at the table. The industry needs to be separated from those policy decisions and the policy table.
So toddler milks, your story is on 7:30. People can see that on iView. But that does kind of lead us to just ultra-processed foods for kids. They're really marketed as being healthy. They have fruit and vegetables on the front. They've got, you know, whole grains and they've got cartoon characters. And honestly, when my kids were toddlers, we did use them a fair bit because they're easy, especially when you are on the go and you're not sure what the options are going to be that are going to be suitable for your kid.
That's right. And it is an issue. We bellyache about childhood obesity, and for good reason. If you are obese and overweight when you hit adolescence, your hormones are reset and you're much more likely to become obese and overweight or stay that way as an adult. Now, Jane Martin is a public health advocate and researcher who's been working in this area for a long time, executive manager of Food for Health Alliance, which used to be the Obesity Alliance. One of the key aims of the Food for Health Alliance is to improve nutrition and prevent obesity, especially in children. Welcome to the Health Report, Jane.
Thanks, Norman.
So just Tegan did a pretty good job of defining toddler foods, but what are the range here we're talking about?
Well, there's hundreds of these packaged foods on the supermarket shelves, and it's certainly a growing category. And so that's why we really should be looking at this, because they are ultra-processed foods, and many of them don't meet, you know, nutrition guidelines set by organisations like the World Health Organization. We've looked at a lot of the products on the shelves. It's really important that children have good nutrition. As you said, those first 1,000 days when their brain is developing is critical. And families want nutritious food to provide to their children, but these products, the vast majority are not.
What's the public health impact? I mean, are enough of these foods being eaten by enough kids to create a problem?
Well, what we know about the market is that 82% of these foods for toddlers don't meet nutritional standards set by the World Health Organization. And particularly problematic are snacks, which are sold to toddlers, and they make up 2/3 of all products marketed to this age group. And the snack products, 96% fail the nutrition recommendations put up by the World Health Organization. And the reason that organizations like us are concerned about this is that for some children, packaged foods starting to make up a significant portion of toddlers' diets. Data from the Royal Children's Hospital shows that 2 in 5 Australian toddlers eat these foods for at least half of their diet. So that's a really serious problem when we have 80% of toddlers not eating enough vegetables and more than half exceeding the recommended sugar intakes. And a lot of these products are high in added sugar, and that's why toddlers will eat them and ask for more, because many of them are sweet.
The easiest thing here is to blame parents. Oh, you know, what slack parents to be giving them these foods. And of course, the easiest thing to do is to make parents feel guilty. They're already feeling guilty. You know, Anthea Rhodes alluded to that in my 7:30 story. To what extent is this a parental problem versus market?
Well, we asked parents if they thought there should be any regulations, or thought there were regulations around the marketing and the claims on these foods. And 9 in 10 agreed that there should be laws on the images and claims allowed on baby and toddler foods. And 90% also agreed that there should be laws to limit harmful sugars and salt in baby foods. And they thought that these products were much more regulated than they in fact were. So parents are concerned about the nutrition and marketing claims on these packaged foods.
So they're being hoodwinked, in a sense, by the marketing. So they think it's going to be healthy, but in fact it's not.
No, that's right. And they're being hoodwinked as well with these marketing claims. We know that there's up to 15 claims on a single pack of toddler food. So this certainly has an influence on parents. And Cancer Council Victoria has done research that shows when these unhealthier toddler foods show these marketing claims, like free from preservatives, colours, flavours, it boosts parents' or carers' intentions to buy these products for toddlers to eat. So marketing works, and we're seeing many, many claims appearing on these products to give them a healthier halo than they would have, which is why it's recommended that no claims appear on these foods, and also that sugars aren't added to these foods. Some of these products have similar sugar levels to what you would find, or more than what you would find in a Smartie, for example.
And of course, that changes the taste preference of children, or could change the taste preference.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said before, these children are learning and setting habits very early in life. The preference for sweet, once that's set, is quite hard to shift. And yes, certainly it, you know, sets those preferences for sweetened foods.
We did the story for 7:30. We went to the Infant Nutrition Council to get a comment, and they basically said, well, we're talking about toddler milk, that these are supplementary. It should only be done with the advice of a medical practitioner, or as they followed the official line, in a sense. But of course, the food processing industry, these milk manufacturers, have not applied the voluntary ban on infant milk to toddler milk. So we're not even applying that to milk. What chance have you got of getting the industry to accept mandatory regulation? Because even infant milk formula marketing is a voluntary ban.
Yeah, look, it's really important that we have mandatory regulation that levels the playing field, so we're not seeing an early adopter or a...
So in other words, just to explain, sorry to interrupt, Jane, is that when you've got voluntary regulation, you'll get some manufacturers who do the right thing, but they're penalised because a lot of manufacturers don't do the right thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And these corporations on the whole are building their profits. So they're packing these products with cheap ingredients like sugars. And there's a lot of apple puree and apple paste in products that look savoury, but in fact have a higher proportion of those kinds of ingredients. So it's really important that parents get the information that they need and deserve, and that industry is supporting them. And that is by things like not having claims on products, not putting added sugar in these products, and that the names and the representations on the products actually represent the ingredients that are in them. So parents really can have an unfiltered view of what these products actually are.
Now, Jane, you once worked in tobacco control. It's been a long time since the tobacco industry has been allowed at the table to talk about tobacco control. They're never in the room. They might be trying to be lobbied from the side and visit ministers and so on, but they're never in the room when the actual regulations are. Jennifer McCann at Deakin University alleges that the food industry is often at the table when food regulation is being discussed. Where are we at in terms of moving forward on this?
Yeah, well, industry hasn't responded to these guidelines that are coming out around the nutrition and marketing around these foods. There is some movement by the Australian government which has started to look at these products for babies and toddlers, which is, you know, really important. There's a paper that has been prepared looking at how these products are marketed and sold, and the food ministers around Australia and New Zealand have agreed that there are issues with these foods and have asked that options for policy reform be developed. And they've raised five key issues around these foods, including sugar and salt. But what is missing from the key issues is a focus on these snack foods, which toddlers clearly don't even need. We anticipate that there'll be consultation on policy options, that the food industry, particularly those companies that sell these products, will be putting their views. But it's important that, you know, we see these options and that government moves and looks to the evidence and the health impacts of these products in the marketplace and how they're undermining, in many cases, our children's health.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is you're super optimistic and 1 you're not optimistic at all of change, where do you sit?
Look, today I'm at 7 because...
What happened when you got up this morning, Jane? What was special about today?
Well, I was probably at a 5, but no, it's got better through the day because there are these policy options coming onto the table for the food ministers to consider. I think there's very, very high public concern around this. Parents rightly expect that these products are regulated and that they are nutritious and wholesome for their children. And we really need to see healthy products on the market. And, you know, this is a marketing opportunity, but it will be the regulation that will shift behaviour and shift the products to be more nutritious. For our youngest Australians, they deserve that.
Jane, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll follow up with Jane later in the year to see what happens to those policy papers from the federal government. Jane Teagan is Executive Manager of Food for Health Alliance.
And I think that idea about regulation is so important because with this category, as with kind of any ultra-processed food, we've got at an individual level like this classic problem. They're shelf-stable, they're safe in a sense of food safety. Having the time to do something like slice up rock melon or make a whole grain sandwich before you leave the house really favours people with time and resources. And if we're talking about public health, the healthy option has to be a low effort option if we're going to make a difference, especially for people who are most in need.
Absolutely right.
You're with the Health Report.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.